Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. So we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up, Danny Cannell is going to join us, CBS Sports HQ, college football analyst, also an analyst for CBS Sports Network. We'll talk Ohio State, Maryland, and much more with Danny Cannell coming up here at 20 minutes past the hour. Last night, the Los Angeles Dodgers lose again, this time to the San Francisco Giants yet again. And this is notable not because they once again blew a lead or their bullpen blew it, but five straight losses. The bullpen yaks again in the 2-1 defeat. But also there was a benches clearing confrontation. I don't want to call it a brawl because brawls are when there's a lot of people fighting. Brawls are when there's a lot of punches thrown. This was mostly guys jawing, running at one another, and then being tackled by teammates that they did not fight, pulled away so that they did not fight. And it happened because Yasiel Puig, in frustration after fouling off a pitch that he thought was meaty enough to take yard, threw his bat up and then grabbed it out of frustration, and that did not sit well with the San Francisco Giants. Now, there's always been a lot of animosity between the Giants and the Dodgers going back decades, but even recently as well. And Madison Bumgarner hasn't liked Yasiel Puig. And in this case, the Giants catcher Nick Hundley also didn't like Yasiel Puig. They start jawing. Nick Hundley says, hey, don't show it up or whatever. And then Yasiel Puig pushes him in the chest protector. That sets off the two sides running out of their dugouts. The bigger problem is that the Los Angeles Dodgers should be running away with this division. They were obviously in the World Series into a Game 7 last year. They've won the National League West years in a row now, and they added Manny Machado at the trade deadline. This should be a team that is coasting to yet another division title, and yet their bullpen is such a disgrace, they can't get out of their own way, and it keeps coming back to bite them. In that division, it is not a difficult one to surge up the standings and take the division crown and get into the playoffs and not have to play in a one-game playoff. They're only two games back of the Arizona Diamondbacks and one game back of the Rockies. But the Dodgers, after all of the work they've done this year, are also now only seven games over 500. I thought once they added Machado and they went on that hot streak middle of the season, that was going to be it. They were going to dust everybody else in the West. And that hasn't happened. Arizona's fine. They're good. They're 11 games over 500. Colorado's fine. They're good. They're nine games over 500. But these are not great teams. All the great teams are in the American League. The Cubs might be the closest thing to a great team right now in the National League. And even they are not superior elite like the 70-win teams that are going on to the 80-win teams in the American League. For the Dodgers last night, it was a frustration overflowing. And for Puig, he's frustrated himself, I don't think the Giants need to get all bent out of shape about that. I think everybody is looking for something with Puig because he rubs people the wrong way other times. In this case, he's frustrated by himself, at himself. I don't think it's necessary to clear the benches. But for the Dodgers, everything's a soap opera right now. And when you continually build leads and blow them with your bullpen, and you're trying to get out of this losing streak, and you're trying to catch the division leader, and it's now down to a little bit more than a month to play, this is when you see teams starting to fray. This is when teams start to pull apart. And for the Dodgers, who have had this wild swing of emotion throughout the season, early in the year, a disaster. Then they catch fire. Now they're collapsing again. It's a lot to overcome. It's a lot to stay stable through. And I think the last couple of years have come really easy to them. And because this year has not, you're going to see emotion boil over like last night more and more as we head down the stretch. It might not just be in bench-clearing brawls, but you might see it in other ways. Guys getting kicked out, arguing with umpires, frustrated with the manager, things like this. Pointing fingers at the bullpen. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. We played a second version, day two of Done for the Day, Mraz's travelogue. Mraz sees America in 2 hours or less. Andrew Kaplan, who's our producer on the simulcast at watchda.com, suggests we do an international series with Mraz. But that would mandate that Mraz knows anything about other countries, which I don't want to bank on. Josh has dialed us up on our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. Geico.com. Josh is in York, PA. What's up, Josh?
Hey, DA. Beam me up.
You got it, bud. What's up?
Yeah, two things. I think Mraz, you know, doesn't got to worry about going all the way to Zimbabwe. Just hit the D.C. Zoo and check out the lion and some of the bamboo there and done for the day.
Probably easier than flying all the way to Zimbabwe, right?
Definitely. And then as far as the Dodgers go, I think they'll be all right. I knew there was going to be a pretty big hangover during the regular season after that tough World Series. I think they're just trying to get through the season, get to the postseason. And, you know, you can't always just kind of flip that switch, you know, I think. But I think that's what they expect to do.
They're extremely talented. They should be the best team in that division again. And yet here they are, third place of the National League West. Certainly not impossible to overcome just a two-game deficit. But in the wild card standings, there's four teams ahead of them. Again, it's not a ton of room to make up. It's only 2.5 games in the wild card as well. But I think you're right. I think they've had a hard time remaining constant throughout a regular season after these postseason runs and emotionally what happened last year in October. And now it might come back to bite them because there's teams ahead of them and there's a month and a half of baseball left. We had one of our listeners point out that last night, in honor of the Jody Mac Attack montage, our friend John Fass, who also handles updates around here, had a coughing attack during an update on the Scott Farrell Show. Mraz, we dug this up out of the archives from last night?
Yes. I mean, I think the key here is after the initial cough, you're going to hear a period of an extended period of silence, which makes this, I think, funny.
So what ends up happening is Fast definitely hits the cough button there and silences himself.
Yeah, I've now listened to every single John Fast update from last night, and I'm convinced this is the one.
How do you do?
A strong night out of Fast. I really got to be honest. He was all over the Puig and Hundley fight. His update sounded great.
Because James tweeted earlier in the morning, was listening to Farrell on the bench last night, guys. John Fast had an update. He was having a Jody Mac-esque issue, coughing, choking during the MLB scores. Let's see if this is the update.
To the baseball scoreboard in Kansas City, their bottom eight. Jays lead the Royals 6-5. Final from St. Louis. Cardinals took down the Nationals, 6-4. In Oakland, their bottom five. A's lead the Mariners 3-2.
He's definitely coughing in the middle of that.
Thank goodness the music kept playing.
Fass is great. He's a super nice guy. We like having him around here, but he is prone to coughing attacks. He is.
Which is tough, you know, in a job where you have to talk without coughing.
He's prone also to clearing his throat a lot.
Yeah, him and Jody Mack cut from the same cloth in that regard.
But I think, interestingly, Jody Mack has a wet problem. I think Fass has a dry problem.
If you combine Jody Mack and Fass's vocal cords, you might then have the perfect vocal cord.
Perhaps. Jody Mack is a little bit like the mudslides in the Far East. It rains too much there. It's too wet. And the roads get washed away.
Tough place to live. A lot of depression.
For Fass, it's more like a drought. It's when
all of the
lawns are brown. They're getting all crispy.
Wildfires.
There's smog and there's atmosphere alerts. You know, air alerts. It's a wet problem versus a dry problem.
Tsunami versus smog.
Yes. Yeah.
So which problem would you rather have?
Well, look. I think the problem is that Jody Mack's health is really in question.
But I think wet is a better problem than dry.
That's what I mean. I think it's a better problem to have. I think you can clear up mucus easier.
The problem is...
that sounds like static on an AM radio.
The problem is I think John Fass has taken the strides to improve his health, where Jody Mack is disregarding it altogether.
I mean, long-term prognostication, Fass, by a long shot, right? I mean, if you're going to bet on a horse here, it's going to be Fass.
Fass has a tougher immediate injury. Jody Mack's long-term career is the one I would worry about.
I think I'd rather have a wet problem than a dry problem, but it's all the other stuff that factors into Jody Mack's health.
If you're doing a sports radio draft, you have the same questions about Jody Mack that people had about Miles Jack with the knee when he came out. Right. Could be out of the league in 6 years, but the potential's there. Fast slides because you think he might miss a year, but ultimately he's there for 12 to 15. Fast is the Jalen Smith, Jody Mack's the Miles Jack.
Excuse me, 6'4". I mean, Oakland, they're bottom five. Aisley, the Mariners, 3-2.
Fass is the Jalen Smith.
Yeah,
He's got a red shirt a year in the NFL.
You knew he was going to have to miss time, but that's an injury we think could be repaired.
Uh-huh.
Jody Mack can come out and play right away like Miles Jack, but he might be shot in 6 years. I'm talking about their lives, by the way, not even their careers.
I don't even know. Oh, my God. This is so funny. I don't even know why it's so stupid. All right. When we come back, you're on the show. Danny Cannell is going to join us on the show. Oh, my God. Wow. This is killing me. Little coughs and... Oh, man, sneezes and coughs and hiccups and...
Excuse me, 6'4".
Excuse me. Danny Cannell is going to join us, I promise. CBS Sports HQ, college football analyst, coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
You know, he interviewed my old partner, too, Brian Jones, off of the show and didn't talk to me. You know,
yeah, I got down the Demon of Mandalorian, and I was like, I gotta rethink this.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Anytime you finally get to me on a list, it's time to rethink where you're at on that list. 21 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. If you're outside your normal listening area today or any day listening to the DA show or trying to, remember we're on Sirius XM 205. Check it out, Sirius XM, channel 205 for CBS Sports Radio. and the Da Show every single day, Monday through Friday, and Sunday morning football coming your way starting week one of the NFL season.
Aw, the Da. I love the Da.
Our next guest is co-host of the Kanell and Bell Off the Bench podcast. He's a CBS Sports HQ analyst and has been named to this season's CBS Sports Network game broadcast team. He'll be calling games as part of the CBS Sports Network, which is awesome. Danny Kanell joining us this morning on the show. DK, how you doing?
What's up, my man? How we doing? I was already excited for football, and now that I'm going to get to actually be in a couple stadiums this year, get a feel for it, like, I cannot wait for this football season to roll around.
Yeah, man, me too. Game days, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoons around campuses across the country is just when the juices are flowing. And that's what makes it kind of a shame that this offseason we've been just inundated by these controversies, Ohio State, Maryland, other really serious situations. Let's start with Ohio State. When it began, people, I think, assumed, well, Urban Meyer can't survive this. And now it feels like it's softening that he will. I don't know how to read this, but how do you read it?
I'm with you, DA. It feels to me like Urban Meyer is going to get most likely a 4-game suspension. That kind of be my hunch of what he's going to get, because they have to do something, because he admitted to lying at Big Ten Media Days. There was a problem on his staff when you have a guy like Zach Smith with the history of issues that he had. So they have to set some standard. They have to do something. The reason I think it'll be 4 games, it's either going to be 2 or 4 games. And here's why, and this is kind of the messed up part of it, is that I'm sure they're well aware of the schedule and the way it unfolds. So week 3, they play TCU at home. TCU is a really good team, you know, out-of-conference schedule game from the Big 12. So it might be a 2-game for that. And if not, I think the harshest punishment you'll see is a 4-game suspension, because guess who they play in week 5? It's at on the road against Penn State. So that's kind of my hunch. And, DA, I am 100% on board with you. When the news first came out, I was like, uh-oh, there's no way he's going to survive this. Like, this is going to be a mess. But I really think Ohio State did the right thing by just slowing down, removing him from the situation, putting him on paid administrative leave, and kind of reviewing the facts and the evidence and talking to all the parties involved. And I'm sure I kind of trust them, which is kind of scary to think in college football that you would trust somebody. But I trust Ohio State to do the wise thing here because they've taken this slower approach.
Urban Meyer suggests that he did what he was supposed to do, which would be following protocol, reporting this about one of his assistant coaches, and then suggesting that he flew up the flagpole. And I'm guessing his background is going to be, hey, I told them this and they didn't want me to fire him, or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. But can we believe that Urban Meyer doesn't have end of discussion autonomy over his staff decisions?
Yes, for sure he does. And I'm sure there is some process that goes forth at Ohio State where he reports an incident and says, hey, I have a coach on my staff that's having some problems off the field, and whatever those problems are, you know, they're all the thing that's crazy about college football is you see these message boards and chat rooms. They get scary. I mean, it's a deep, dark place of college football, and it brings out the absolute worst in college football fans. So you're reading a bunch of garbage on there, a lot of victim shaming. But when you look at it, I think Urban Meyer, that to me, DA, when he made that statement and apologized but then said I followed proper protocol, that was Urban Meyer saying, I'm not going down alone. Like, I'm not going to be the fall guy for this. And it's not just going to be me, which I thought was a really smart thing on his behalf. But you are right. He has ultimate, final say on his staff. So he does own up. He has to own up to some of it. But here's the problem, and this is not exclusive to college football. This happens in corporate culture. It happens in all walks of life and it happens in family life. Like, you view your coaching staff as your family, and you're going to protect your family at all costs. And that can be to your detriment, and that can make you not see clearly. And I think that's what happened with Urban Meyer in this case, and it's happened, you know, in other circumstances too. I think he was too loyal to his staff trying to protect one of his coaches. Now, the question that people have to judge is, does that loyalty, should that have him fired or not?
Danny Kanell joins us this morning here on the DA Show. At Maryland yesterday, the president comes out and says, we have to hold moral responsibility for the passing of a student athlete. But DJ Durkin is still on staff. They fired the conditioning coach. Is there any way a guy, and I hate to bring win-loss record into this, but he's not an institution there. He's not a civic hero, and he's a sub-500 coach. Doesn't feel like there's a lot of reason to keep DJ Durkin around. What do you think?
So it's another one. I hate talking about these subjects, so I'm with you. Like, it's like you have to come out, especially in our business, right? Like, if you're in radio or you have a podcast like I do, you have to make these instant reactions, right? But in some of these circumstances, that can put you in a pretty precarious spot, and you have to make kind of judgments without knowing what's going on fully behind the scenes. And this is one of the worst tragedies that would happen to any coaching staff, to any team. To lose one of their teammates like this is just an ultimate tragedy that you hope no one ever has to endure. As far as who's responsible, like the medical and training staff does have to take a lot of responsibility for this. The fact that that Jordan McNair was on the field for 45 minutes and the ambulance wasn't called as he's there, lying on the field basically dying, that's inexcusable. And that's what Maryland was apologizing for yesterday. Now, that being said, like, that is a separate issue than is there a culture of verbal and physical abuse because of the way Maryland is training? That I don't know because I'm not there every day. Now, you read this ESPN report that comes out, and they interviewed some players that came there, and they told some of the stories. And some of them do cross the line, and I think that's why you had the strength and conditioning coach fired. But other ones, like, are we going to call it verbal abuse if if players are getting yelled at and cursed at during practice while they're trying to train? I understand it, and I think that's hard for people to grasp if you didn't play the sport or if you didn't play at that level, because it sounds awful and it sounds horrific, but it's kind of necessary. And that's really hard for people to understand, because coaches will do this. And I went through something similar at Florida State. We had these mat drills that they called them, and they were basically our version of a boot camp where, you go through, you wake up at 5:30 in the morning and you go through these drills, and you are physically exhausted and you're dying, and coaches are sitting there yelling at you, screaming at you, calling you all kind of names, but they're also trying to push you to your limits to show you that you can accomplish things that you never thought you were able to do. And a lot of times I was able to do things I didn't think I could do because I responded to those calls, and I responded to some of those, shouts and, those words that were spit at me. I was like, I'm not going to go down like this. I'm going to fight back. And this is a worst case scenario where I don't know what their training regimen is like, but is it that much different than anywhere across college football? I'm going to say no. I think they all train like this. They're pushing guys to the wire, to the very maximum. And this is just happens to be one of the worst case situations that you would see unfold. And it's tragic, but maybe it's just an accident. Maybe it's just one of these things that can't be avoided. And that's a lot of people have a really hard time fathoming that could be the situation.
Hmm. Danny Cannell joins us, CBS Sports HQ, CBS Sports Network, also his podcast Off the Bench. At LSU, in the last 24 hours, we've had two quarterbacks decide to transfer, and Ed Orgeron hasn't named a starter yet ahead of the opener against Miami. LSU's quarterback issue has been there for years. What do you make of LSU's chances this year, and what's going on at QB?
Well, you are 100% right. They have had a major issue at quarterback. I mean, but the thing is, they're still really good. Like, that's pretty crazy. Joe Burrow's transferring in from Ohio State. They played with, Danny Etling was a Purdue transfer, so they've been going to the Big Ten. I think it's going to be a rough year for LSU. I really do. I look at them the way their schedule unfolds. I think it's going to be tough. I think Ed Orgeron, the honeymoon period is over. When you look at Ed Orgeron, he was the perfect hire because he sounds like everybody in the area. He's passionate about LSU football. And I like Ed Orgeron, but you've seen turnover at the offensive coordinator with Matt Canada, who ironically, is now the interim head coach at Maryland. It's crazy how the college football works that way. But the offensive side of the football has been a complete disaster for LSU. And until they figure out, they're still going to find themselves just fighting an uphill battle, because in today's college football, it used to be, and even Bama's, adapted to the current college football situation. It used to be if you had a dominant defense and an okay offense, you could win. You could win championships that way. But now you've got to adapt with the times. You've got to be able to put points on the board, or else you're going to find yourself in a tough situation. So I'm sure it's because of the transfer situation. When you have guys come in, quarterbacks look around and they're saying, there's another body in here, and this is a former, five-star recruit. I don't have much chance. They're going to take their ball and go somewhere else, which is kind of more of an indictment on all of college football than it is necessarily on LSU.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Danny Cannell joining us this morning on the show. He's going to be part of the game broadcast team this year on CBS Sports Network. So Check that out. Also, listen to his podcast, him and Raja Bell. Connell and Bell, episode 114 is out, Off the Bench, their podcast, which is phenomenal. You see him on CBS Sports HQ as well, talking college football and other things. Danny, it's always great to catch up, buddy. Now that you got games coming up this fall, we got to have you back on the show a bunch.
Absolutely, D.A. I look forward to it. We'll get to talk some stuff on the field then, which I look forward to.
I know. Me too, man. Thanks, DK.
See ya.
All right. Danny Cannell joining us this morning here on the show. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Danny Cannell. When we come back here on the show, it'll cut live the stories that did not make the cut, including one of DJ Durkin's players, who's now in the NFL, talking about his bully tactics. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
My man, DA, how the hell are you? Keep up the good work. We're the CBS Sports Network on lock.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
39 minutes past the hour. DA with you, CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can always watch the show on your phone or your tablet or your PC or your smart TV. WatchDA.com is where you can check out the simulcast every single day. WatchDA.com. That will include Sunday Morning Footballs, which returns week one of the NFL season, 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday mornings. That is 6 to 8 a.m. Pacific. It's time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And Brian tweets, DA, is Jalen Ramsey trolling everybody or creating the next Richard Sherman-like persona? Now, when it comes to O'Reilly Auto Parts, think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And as always, you can submit your Ask the Pros question by tweeting at us at CBS Sports Radio or at DA on CBS. That's another cornerback, Richard Sherman. Just like Josh Norman's, now like Jalen Ramsey, who are building household names and magazine profile worthy personas by being talkative, by being braggadocious, by being highly opinionated. It's working for this generation of corners. I think in a lot of ways, Richard Sherman created this, trashing Michael Crabtree, yelling at Aaron Andrews, created this. And the same way that Michael Irvin begat Randy Moss and T.O. and Chad Ochocinco, those guys followed the leader. I think Jalen Ramsey believes this, but I think that Jalen Ramsey also loves the attention, just like Richard Sherman does, just like Josh Norman does. These guys get off on the ego stroke that everything that they say becomes newsworthy. Now, let me say this. Everyone in every talk show I've seen today, every talking head show on television, every Twitter post, everything has focused on Jalen Ramsey trashing Matt Ryan, Josh Allen, Joe Flacco, and Big Ben. What they're not adding is that he also glossed a couple of guys in here as well. Jalen Ramsey said that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are great. He said that he thinks Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson are future MVPs. He said that Tyrod Taylor is a better quarterback than he gets credit for. He said Marcus Mariota is a great quarterback for the team. I thought this was interesting because what you will see framed today about Jalen Ramsey's comments to GQ is he trashed everybody. It's a young kid with no respect. He thinks he's great and thinks everybody else is a bum. When in reality, it was balanced. You will think he just went scorched earth on everybody. Angry young man. He said, Aaron Rodgers is great. Tom Brady is great. Tyrod Taylor is better than he gets credit for. Marcus Mariota is a great quarterback, whether you agree with Marcus Mariota. He said Dak Prescott, he's good. He said Kirk Cousins, he's a winner. He's a hell of a competitor. He said play action passing, he's a hell of a quarterback. Derek Carr. I think he's good. He, of course, promoted his guy, Blake Bortles. That's kind of predictable. But Jalen Ramsey didn't just thrash everybody. Quote, Drew Brees. I'm a fan of Drew Brees. He's still really, really good. He says, Matthew Stafford. I think he's straight. I don't think he's the best quarterback out there, but he'd do what he got to do. He said, Phillip Rivers. I think he's pretty good. Ryan Tannehill, I haven't heard of the greatest of stuff about him, but I don't know him personally. I can't tell you. I think this is interesting because Jalen Ramsey is giving you both sides of the coin from an opinion standpoint. He's telling you guys that he thinks are good and guys that he thinks stink. All we ever hear is guys talking about how great their opponents are because coaches tell them to talk about how great their opponents are. It doesn't behoove coaches to go in there and say, man, that quarterback stinks. You're going to pick him off three times a day. We got nothing to worry about because then you lose the focus and the intimidation or the real kind of instinct that it would lend you to believe that you need your players to believe they're up against a challenge so to rise to the occasion. If you tell them that your opponent stinks, you're not going to get the best out of them. They will lay down. But Jalen Ramsey's telling both sides of the tale here, which I appreciate. I do think, though, that it's going to be a lot for Ramsey because every week he's going to have an opportunity to go sit down with CBS cameras, do Sports Illustrated profiles or GQ. He's going to have the opportunity to talk to whatever media he wants to all season long. And the Jaguars are going to be a focal point of the season. Can they redo what they did last year? And they're interesting. They're vocal. They're young. They're aggressive. They're a team on the come. That gets you a lot of attention in the NFL. Now, how do they handle the attention after last year really sneaking up on people having come out from 3-13? I think that is a risk. But I don't dislike Jalen Ramsey crushing the quarterbacks that he crushed because he also gave dap, he gave credit to quarterbacks that he thought were also very good. Let's get to your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Jabril Peppers was a high draft pick coming out of Michigan by the Cleveland Browns, and he admitted that he thought when DJ Durkin was the Michigan defensive coordinator that he was extreme at times, quote unquote. He said, Coach Durkin, different guy. You know what I mean. His tactics were different. It felt extreme. I was just as shocked reading all the other stuff that's going on. I thought, though, once he became a head coach, that he would calm down a little bit, become more of a people person, a player's coach. He said, the one way I would describe it, it was kind of bully coaching. I don't think he meant anything by it. It's just the way that it seems. It's just how it comes out. So this is interesting because, remember, Will Muschamp trashes former players that are anonymous that would somehow possibly suggest that DJ Durkin is too intense or a bully or overly aggressive or unsentimental. But here's a guy that puts his name on it. I'd like to know what Will Muschamp says. Okay, so Will, now we've got a player that actually says Durkin's tactics are extreme. This guy is in the NFL. It's not like Michigan didn't help him get to the NFL. I don't think he's got an axe to grind with the Wolverines program that says it was bully tactics and it was extreme. So where is Will Muschamp to now answer, all right, there's a guy that's not anonymous saying some of the same things that anonymous sources did. What do you think about that, Will? And of course, Muschamp is not going to talk about it because it doesn't help his agenda of protecting his friend. If you haven't been able to tell, I think Muschamp is a bum for saying what he did.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And I say that because, obviously, anonymous sources can be very valuable in exposing the truth. Also, almost every coach has been an anonymous source at one point in time because as an assistant coach or as a head coach, you are floating anonymous source material to the media members to advance your agenda or help get you a job or help get you promoted. It happens all of the time. I have a hard time believing Muschamp did not. Ben Roethlisberger with a scary moment in practice where his head hit the ground. He's being evaluated by team doctors as part of concussion protocol. Remember that concussions have happened to Roethlisberger a couple of times before. And Marquise Pouncey thinks that Roethlisberger might just have whiplash after falling on his head because he seemed fine after what happened. Either way, it's crazy because in practice, in training camp, you know, you can't hit the quarterbacks. So for them to go down is very, very rare. For them to suffer concussion is obviously really rare. Apparently, there was a blocking incident that happened in front of Ben Roethlisberger, and then Roethlisberger collided with the two players. One was his offensive lineman that was blocking one of the defensive linemen. Either way, I got to imagine Ben Roethlisberger, who's not going to play in the upcoming preseason game, is not going to play the rest of the preseason, which might mean that he's a little bit rusty. However, I think Ben's next start, his next playing time, is going to be week one of the regular season, which means he's got some time at this point to really rest up and hopefully shake whatever is happening with a concussion or whatever is happening with his head, because he's got now really 4 weekends. I mean, they've got 3 more preseason games than he has coming up for that following weekend, the game one of the season, regular season, which I would imagine is the first time we will see Roethlisberger on the field.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, that is your cut line. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And it was day 2 of done for the day. Meraz's sightseeing excursions. How to see major cities in America in 2 hours or less.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Orlando.
Disney World, Universal, get back on that plane and get the heck out of there. You're done for the day.
Can you do Disney and Universal on the same day?
Yes, because you only need the one park. Everyone's telling me about drinking around the world at Epcot or going to Animal Kingdom. Enough. You're right. It's a small world and the Magic Kingdom. That's it. Get over to Universal. Pick one ride, the Jaws ride. Toy Story ride. You did both parks. You're done with Orlando. It's all the same after that.
You just reduce everything to one thing, and that's it.
The mothership is over.
That's all you need.
What are we doing? You're just wasting time in life. Let's go.
And you waste time every day.
Wouldn't you rather be sitting on the couch watching some good TV? How many more rides I need to ride at Disney?
He's bare-chested and banging his chest.
Oh, I drank in Hong Kong. No, you didn't. It's in Orlando.
Seattle.
Great. Space Needle.
Typical American thing.
And you go to their version of Fisherman's Wharf. I think it's called Pike's Place.
Yeah.
You see somebody throw
Pike's
a fish.
Market.
Pike's Market. You see one of these guys throw a fish. You walk into the original Starbucks, look up at the Space Needle, you're done, you're out.
You're done for the day.
You're done for the day. Done for the day. That's a good trip, by the way.
She knows everything, and I know nothing.
Because there's 3 things
I'm giving
there.
You 3 feature items there, and it's real quick watching. You could literally do this in one full swoop. Hold a Starbucks cup, watch somebody slap somebody with a fish, look up at Space Needle. That's like 6 minutes, you're done for the day. Oh, Seattle was great.
Meraz does Seattle in 6 minutes.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I love done for the day. Jeff in Detroit tweets, nice trashing of my hometown, Meraz. How about the Motown Museum, Henry Ford Museum? They're iconic. Burnt buildings are in every major city. That's a bad cliche. You want to respond to Jeff in Detroit?
I want to apologize off the cuff. You're right. All I was thinking of was arenas and the image of burned buildings. That's all I thought of in Detroit. Jeff, I apologize. I'll check out the Motown Museum whenever I get there.
I'm sorry. My bad. I'm sorry.
I think we could all agree, not a lot to see in Detroit. That's a 90-second, you're in, you're out.
90 seconds to see all of Detroit.
All you need to see. They got the 8 Mile Road sign, right?
Go see 8 Mile.
Okay. How long is that going to take you?
Joe Louis statue.
Okay, again.
Motown Museum.
Do we need to go in the Motown Museum or you just pass it?
Well, I think, what's the use in passing a museum?
You saw where it was.
Excuse me, my bad.
Lewis in Palmdale tweets, DA, can you have Meraz tell us more about the Great Wall of Australia and the London Bridge of Burma, the Great Barrier Reef of Angola, hashtag travel trivia.
Done for the day.
Again, that's the problem with having him do this for international countries. He doesn't know that all of that is wrong.
I thought Angola was the lettuce I've been putting on my pizza lately.
Arugula.
It's arugula.
Arugula.
Yeah, not Angola. No. John tweets, DA, can you have Mraz make Jody Mack's phlegm hawking soundbite available for download? I think I want to make it my ringtone. That is one of the most aggressive suggestions ever. You want Jody Mack's phlegm hawk to be your ringtone?
I think Jody owns the rights to his phlegm hawk, too.
I don't know. It happened on the airwaves.
True, but for downloadable consumption, I think that's, you know, Jody Mack's phlegm hawk.
Would you want, if your phone rang, if your wife was calling you, for that to be the phone ringing?
No. I constantly feel sick.
Uh-oh, hang on, guys. I got to get it. My wife is calling. No, hold on. I got to get it. Hi, honey. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bilotti, all the way over the steel. Andrew Kaplan to watchda.com with the simulcast. And Marco Belletti. I hit dingers. On your updates. Be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm DA. The Mothership Disconnects.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.